indeed. It is time for a change. You are listening to UR Radio. This is Reverend Louisa Dyer. And our show for the next hour is Conscious Co-Creating Tools to Empower You. And I'm very happy to be with you here this evening. UR Radio is a function of Western North Carolina Community Media Center. And I hope you join me here every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern. And for an hour before the show starts, from 7 to 8 Eastern, I play an hour of really great music. Last week I was in a rock and roll mood. This week I played some amazing old-time blues. So you're welcome to join me from 7 to 8 as well for some music. And then from 8 to 9 Eastern for this show, Conscious Co-Creating Tools to Empower You. Again, my name is Louisa Dyer. I am a holistic counselor and a metaphysical author. I live in the Asheville area of beautiful Western North Carolina. And you're welcome to check out what I'm about by looking at my website, louisadyer.com. And you can email me through that site if you have any questions or comments or suggestions about the show. There's also a Facebook page for this show called Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio. And you are welcome to get on that Facebook page and interact live during the show or anytime after the show as well. And I will do my best to answer and respond as best I can, although I probably cannot do that while I'm talking. My intention in doing this show every week is to have a whole lot of fun while also being of service, to actually feel inspired with life and what I'm doing and hopefully be inspiring. And the way that I hope to do that is by sharing all the tools that are available to us for anybody who wants to feel better about who they are, if you want more joy or peace in your life, if you want to learn how to thrive, actually, instead of just survive, all the tools are available to help you do that. And that's really what this show is about sharing the knowledge that is available to almost anyone. These are amazing times we live in because, really, for the first time in recorded human history, almost everyone has access to the information, the knowledge, the wisdom that will help us have meaningful lives rather than just, you know, barely existing day to day. And so what I've done over the last couple of months is talk about mostly three of my favorite teachers, all three of whom are enlightened beings. One is David Hawkins, the other is Eckhart Tolle, the other is Byron Katie. All three of them have websites, they have written books. All three offer very different ways to sort of get to the same place, which is, if you want to go all the way to enlightenment, that would be a wonderful thing. But if you just want more peace and joy and serenity and fun in your life, they all offer ways to do that. And if you don't like one, perhaps you'll like another, because they offer very different. They offer the same understandings and sort of the same goal, but they give very, very different ways to get there. And the other person we've talked about at length is Michelle Small Wright of Paralandra, which is a nature research center in Virginia. And she does a lot of personal health-related things, some of which have really steep learning curves and some of which have almost no learning curve at all. So if you're interested in taking better care of your own health, that's a big part of what Michelle and Paralandra does, is offer tools and methods for taking really, really good care of your own health, taking responsibility for it, and actually having a much easier time because you're doing that. And tonight what we're actually going to talk about is we're going to talk about free will, and we're also going to talk about boundaries. As a counselor, probably in the 30 years that I've been counseling, those are the two things that people actually are always working with, is what does it mean to have free will? How do I make choices? How do I know what are good choices? And how do I have better boundaries? Because, you know, it's a really big topic when we talk about either free will or boundaries, and especially when we're going to talk about them together. And the reason I'm doing that is because You really can't have one without the other. You're a dream.
Brought you here. Where will they take you tomorrow? You believed in spite of stayed strong, had faith and followed. No, nothing can hold you back from your truth. Now it's up to you and only you.
Up to you to choose. Oh my God, that's such a beautiful song. Your dreams brought you here. Where will they take you tomorrow? That was Here to Hear. And you are listening to UR Radio at Western North Carolina Community Media Center. And our show until 9 p.m. Eastern is Conscious Co-Creating Tools to Empower You. And tonight, that's actually what we're discussing, is free will and boundaries. And that's really what that song is about. Your dreams brought you here. You know, who do you choose to be? And that's really a function of free will. And that's what we're talking about. And, you know, it's a really big topic to talk about free will and good boundaries, because there's so much involved when we talk about that. You know, there's ego, there's pain body, there's the difference between the male and the female psyches. If you believe that, which I certainly do, as someone who's been a counselor for 30 years, I often say that men and women are different species. And also 6,000 years of socialization for women that, you know, tell us that we actually aren't supposed to have good boundaries. We're supposed to be nice, and we're supposed to make sure everybody else gets taken care of, but not ourselves. So even knowing what we really think or feel or want is a big deal, because most of us haven't actually learned how to give ourselves permission to even know that, much less to feel it or act on it. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, this whole idea of free will. And we're going to actually expand that a little bit. the way that David Hawkins talks about it in terms of personal will and spiritual will. One he calls like a little S self, and the other he calls a big S self. So, you know, of course, the personal will is sort of the ego and the pain body, what the personality wants, whereas the spiritual will is, you know, the higher self. The if you're thinking in terms of shadow, the personal will would have more to do with the shadow self, and the spiritual will would have more to do with the divine self, the part of you that knows what's good and right and is always wanting to do it. And so I think to get this conversation really started, I wanted to read a little bit from one of David Hawkins' books. It's one of my favorites, actually. It's called The Eye of the Eye, From Which Nothing is Hidden. And on page 109, he talks a little bit about the ego. And just so that we can have this conversation without guilt-tripping ourselves or going into shame, I just want to read what he says here. He says, it's helpful to realize that the ego is impersonal. It's not unique at all. Everybody's innate ego operates about the same as that of everybody else. And unless modified by spiritual evolution, all ego selves are self-serving, egotistical, vain, misinformed, and committed to endless gain in all of its customary forms, such as moralistic superiority, possessions, fame, wealth, adulation, and control. And because the ego takes these positions, you know, these value judgments, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, because the ego does that, what Hawkins says is everybody's ego results in guilt, shame, greed, pride, anger, rage, envy, jealousy, hatred, etc. It has no option to be anything else than what it is. And so that's sort of what we're working with. And I read that just so you can know that the ego is just what it is. You don't have to take it personally. You don't have to be ashamed of it. You don't ever want to be in a process of trying to fight your own ego, because all that really is the ego fighting itself, and it won't make you happy. So the idea then from Eckhart Tolle that I think is so helpful is that we can actually learn how to get present with this thing that David Hawkins is calling the ego and Eckhart Tolle calls the pain body, you know, the part of us that suffers, the part of us that feels bad in all the thousands of ways that we can feel bad. And what Eckhart Tolle makes really, really clear, especially in his last book, A New Earth, is that all we ever have to do actually is get present with the pain body, be present with whatever our suffering is, and presence will shift that suffering. If we can actually face what's going on inside of us without judgment, without analysis, without even thinking really, just be present with whatever the feeling is, then presence will shift that into something that feels a whole lot better. That's one of the things that the WOW process is so good with, is helping us get present with whatever it is that's been challenging and allowing it to shift. And so that's what we're actually talking about, is in order to know what our free will is and in order to have good personal boundaries, it's like we have to know what we're thinking and feeling, and we have to actually know what we want. And a lot of times, most of us, we don't know really what we're thinking or feeling or what we want, because what we're taught to do in our culture is project. We're taught to say, you know, he made me feel that, or she made me think that, or that situation did that to me, instead of saying, I feel or I think, and then fill in the blank. We're really socialized to blame or project our feelings onto something or someone outside of us. In other words, we give away our power. And because that's how we have learned, that's one of the only ways we've learned, actually, to feel safe and good and okay about ourselves, by projecting whatever those negative feelings are outside of ourselves. And we also have learned how to armor ourselves, how to get hard, or, you know, how to hold things at a distance because we're afraid if we don't, they're going to hurt even more. Most of us are also really afraid not only of our own judgments, but of other people's judgments. And most of us also have a great deal of confusion between what is love and what is fear. And also most of us have a fear of ourselves. We're actually afraid of who we might be inside. And a lot of that has come from, you know, a lot of what I think of as erroneous religious training that says, you know, that whole original sin thing. And so we're actually afraid, a lot of us, in either a conscious or an unconscious way, to actually take responsibility for ourselves because we're afraid we're so bad. How could we do that? And even if we did, most of us are afraid of our own power, you know? So, I mean, there's a lot of really valid reasoning behind not knowing what we really think or feel. And because we don't know what we think or feel, not knowing what we want. But what I want to say to sort of alleviate some of the worry and the fear around all of that is what has been shown over and over and over and over and over and over in so many different sorts of controlled experiments, you know, like psychological type experiments, but just in everyday life too, is that humans are basically good. You know, we're basically cooperative. And I mean, all you have to do, if you've ever witnessed an amazing act of someone saving someone that they didn't know, it really shows you. I mean, I've seen that. Most of us have seen, you know, some sort of action like that where, I mean, for me, one time when I was living in Atlanta in the 70s, I saw a little woman, couldn't have been more than 5'2", rip the door off of a car and drag a man who was twice her size out of the car because he had hit an electric pole and there was wires and fire and he was smoking. And this woman just drove up and she gets out of her car and screams, "Why isn't somebody helping him?" And when nobody answered, I mean, it was literally the middle of the night, she just went and pulled the door off of this smashed car and drug him out. I mean, that's the amazing, to me, that was one of the most profound examples of we do care. Humans actually, at a real basic level, we understand that we are all one. Whether or not our minds, our egos get that, that's a whole other story. But at a real basic core level, we know it. It's like people jump in the ocean to save somebody else that they don't even know. It's basic human nature to be cooperative, to care. But we don't get told that a lot. And so we're actually good. And the reason we don't know that is because we have fear. And I'm sure if you've read any, you know, very much spiritual or New Thought or even any psychological works, you've heard the whole idea that there's basically two emotions. There's fear and there's love. And if you're not in love, then you're probably in fear. And fear is really the root of any and all suffering that we could ever do. And one of the tools I want to give you to deal with that, that is really simple and anyone can do it anytime. And I actually used these release techniques back in the late 70s, early 80s, to clear a very severe case of endometriosis. These release techniques were a part of the process that I used that cleared that. And it's very simple. It's I release all fear of, and then just fill in the blank. And then the second sentence is I release all need or desire to fear, blank. And the third one is, and it's longer, I'll go back over it again in a moment, so don't panic if you want it and don't have it. But the third sentence is, I release all beliefs, all perceptions and judgments that I will continue to fear, blank, whatever it is. So whenever you notice that you are in a less than loving space, or whenever you're aware that you are actually afraid of something, whatever it is, even if that fear is something inside of you, if it's your thought or your own feeling, or whether it's a situation, something happening outside of you, or whether it's another person, it doesn't really matter. What you're doing in these release statements is you're taking responsibility for where you are and owning the fear that you have and then being willing to let it go. And whenever we're willing, amazing things happen. And so I'll tell you those statements again. I release all fear of blank, whatever it is. I release all need or desire to fear blank, whatever it is. I release all beliefs, perceptions, and judgments that I will continue to fear. And then just fill in the blank. And so whatever it is you're afraid of, do all three of those release statements with it. And if you notice a relief when you do that, then wonderful. And if you notice that something else actually comes up that, you know, is another feeling that you don't like, or you can notice fear behind it, then do the release statements around whatever it is that comes up as well. And just to give you an idea of how profound that could be, again, I want to read something from The Eye of the Eye by David Hawkins. And he's talking about what to do. He's saying that if you're really going to do spiritual work or personal growth work, that you really only need a few simple basic tools in order to do that. And he says that one basic truth that is of inestimable value and usefulness is the dictum that all fear is fallacious and not based on truth. It's like that, what do you call that? F-E-A-R stands for false evidence appearing real. That's what fear really is. False evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. And Hawkins is very clear about that, and he is an enlightened being, and I really pay attention when he says something. And so he says that all fear is fallacious, false, and not based on truth. Fear is overcome by walking directly through it until one breaks through into the joy that the fear is blocking. And so I think that's quite beautiful. And, you know, Eckhart Tolle says the same thing when he's talking about getting present with the pain body, whatever, because there's always fear underneath your suffering. That's what suffering is fear of some sort. And when you just get present with it, you face it, you walk through it, you come out the other side, and you're someplace altogether different. And the reason we're talking about fear in terms of free will and boundaries is that a lot of times, a lot of people don't really exercise their free will. They think they are the victim of something, or at the mercy of someone else, or at the mercy of some situation. And it's just simply not true. We are beings of free will. That is how we were created. And so it's up to us what we do, what we think, what we feel, what we say. It's up to us whether or not we grow, whether or not we evolve. But what stops us most of the time, maybe all of the time, is fear of some sort. And so it seems to me, in everybody that I work with, that what has to happen before we can actually grow is we have to be willing to give up our fear of whatever, whatever it is. And we also have to understand that there is a deeper, divine, higher part of us that Hawkins would call the spiritual self, the spiritual will. And even though we have this little, you know, ego, pain body, personality, our personal will that, you know, has all these hateful thoughts or scary thoughts or, you know, stingy thoughts or whatever. Yeah, we all have that because we all have an ego, and we don't even have to take that personal. But in any given moment, we can actually choose, you know, like that higher path. But the trick, I will tell you, to choosing that higher path is not pretending like all that stuff that's going on inside of you isn't there. I cannot tell you how many times I see people so completely stuck because they're pretending like everything is fine. They're pretending like they feel love or joy or beauty or peace, when really they're a seething mass of bleh, shadow stuff inside of themselves. And so, but we've got it in our minds that we're supposed to always act positive and be positive. And so we start lying to ourselves and pretending like we're good. We're good, when in reality inside of us, it's not good at all. And sometimes we've pretended for so long that we've actually fooled ourselves. And we think we are okay. And all the un-okayness inside of us is gone completely unconscious. And that's why a lot of us feel really bad a lot of the time. That's what Eckhart Tolle calls the pain body. And so what we're really going to spend a great deal of time talking about here tonight is this whole idea of really knowing who we are and what we want. And that's really what it means to have good boundaries. Boundaries come from self-love. They don't come from fear. Barriers come from fear. And most of us, especially women, tend to think of having boundaries as, you know, having barriers. And we feel mean if we do that. And so that's really what I want to focus on here tonight. For men and for women, it's an issue. Boundaries are not barriers. And barriers are not boundaries. Boundaries come from self-love. Barriers come from fear. And so we have to be willing to look at what it is that we're afraid of if we want to move forward. And we have to be willing to release that fear or those fears if we want to move forward. And if we want to have better boundaries, we really have to do that. And really what I'm talking about when I'm talking about boundaries is, you know, when people feel like they're taken advantage of or walked all over, or when people feel like they did what they didn't want to do and now they feel really bad about it, that's not having boundaries. Boundaries is being able to feel good about saying what's true for you and moving forward from that. And boundaries are said from love. You know, they're not said from fear or anger or hate. And a lot of times, really, the only way people can have boundaries is to get really angry. Because if you get angry, then you have energy and you quit thinking about the other person and you actually think about yourself, and then you know what you want. And so for that reason, anger is, you know, a beneficial emotion because it can give you enough energy to actually know what you really want. But when we express ourselves out of anger, we don't usually get the kind of reactions that we're really wanting. And so it's much more beneficial, and we tend to like it a lot better when we can learn how to have boundaries from love instead of from fear or from anger. You know, on Hawkins' scale of consciousness, the energy of fear is a lot lower than the energy of anger. And that's one of the reasons that anger can feel so good. If we've been in a place of fear and we suddenly get angry, it feels really good. And it's because we've raised our vibration so much from fear to anger. And so what we're really talking about here tonight with developing better boundaries is raising our vibration from the level of anger up closer to the level of love, because that's really what we're talking about. In order to have your spiritual will activated, you have to be willing to surrender that little self or that personal ego, that personal will. You have to be willing to surrender that to the spiritual will, to the higher self. But you can't do that until, well, you can, but it doesn't work very well until you actually accept what's going on inside of you. You own your feelings. And that's really what having good boundaries requires, is the ability to know what you feel and know what you want. So we're going to take a little musical interlude here. And then when we come back, I'm going to give you a really simple process for actually how to do that and feel better about it. So we're going to have a little instrumental here. This is one of my favorite songs by Ry Cooder. It's called Highway 23. Enjoy, and we'll be back in just probably 2 minutes. just love that tune. Again, that was Highway 23 by Ry Cooder. You're listening to UR Radio, and this is Louisa Dyer. And our show for the next half an hour or so is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. And we're here every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern, and with an hour of great music beforehand. So I hope you join me. Again, there is a Facebook page for this show called Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio, and you are welcome to interact during and after the show. I would love your comments, questions, suggestions. And if you're not a Facebook person, by all means, feel free to email me. You can do that through my website, which is louisadyer.com. And I would love to have whatever interaction you would like about the show. I do this because it's a whole lot of fun, and I'm just amazed that we live in these times where almost anyone who wants it can have a life that 50 years ago, most humans could only, you know, have wild fantasies about living. We live in very amazing times. And so what we've been talking about this evening is personal will and spiritual will and the whole idea that we are beings of free will. And that what that means is we actually have the opportunity to have boundaries instead of barriers. And what I think of as boundaries is really about not only knowing who you are and what you feel and what you think and what you want, but being able to express that in a way that is loving, in a way that is a win-win situation for you and for whomever it is that you're interacting with. And the problem that most of us have with that is that we've been very socialized, especially in America, but we've really been socialized for many thousands of years, to protect ourselves, to take care of other people, to pretend. And so we've done that for so long that most of us actually have a really hard time even knowing what we want in a particular situation. And so there's this little exercise that I've been using now for probably 10 years with my clients to get more clear about expressing boundaries. It's really about learning how to be assertive instead of passive or aggressive. And the way that I teach people to do that is, first of all, to ask yourself, what do I really think or feel or want? You know, who am I really in this situation? So let's say there's something happening that the pit of your stomach has tensed up, or you're suddenly sweating, or you're in any sort of situation that is making you uncomfortable and you really don't feel good, or you're contemplating being in a situation and you're having that sort of reaction. What do you actually do to get beyond that? What I've done is I've taken the information from David Hawkins and from Byron Katie and Eckhart Tolle and sort of developed this little exercise that's really simple. So the first thing you do is just ask yourself, what do I really think or feel or want related to this? And it's tricky right there, because it's not who do you wish you were, but what's really going on inside of you. It's like it's an opportunity to actually accept those shadow energies. You know, the part of you that is angry or pissy or hateful or unloving. It's like instead of ignoring that part of you or pretending like it doesn't exist or trying to wish it away, which does not work, people, let me tell you, it does not work. What does work is accepting it, because in the acceptance of it, acceptance is love. And so love is like presence. The minute you accept what's really going on inside of you, it begins to shift. And so accept what you're really feeling inside instead of pretending or wishing it were something else. Accept it. And as you accept that part of you that is, you know, being less than loving, ask that part of you what would feel good. You know, what would it like to think or say or feel or do? And do that in your imagination. Give that shadow part of you permission in your imagination to actually do what would feel good to it instead of trying to deny its existence. You know, let it go and, you know, blow people up or knock the building down or kick. Let it just, like, do whatever it wants to do. You're accepting it. You accept whatever that is inside of you. And instead of trying to pretend like it's something else, just ask it, what would feel good? What would you really like to do? And then let it do that in your imagination. Because those parts inside of us, we cannot tell the difference between what's happening out in the physical world and what's happening in our inner world. And so to allow that part of you to act it out in imagination is real for that part. You don't ever want to act it out in the physical world. You don't have a right to project that or dump that energy on anyone or anything else. But you do have the right to accept that inside your own mind. And what will happen every single time if you allow that part of you to act out in your imagination, whatever it is that would feel good to it, without any judgment on your part, if it feels your acceptance of it, and you say, what would feel good? Go ahead, do it. And you let it act it out in imagination. What will happen is the energy of it will shift. If you let it go all the way through that emotion, and that's what Eckhart Tolle says, that's what David Hawkins says, you face it. You face whatever that is. You accept it. You allow it. And as you allow it to express itself in whatever way feels good in your imagination, what happens is acceptance, love, presence lets it shift. And you will feel that shift either as, you know, one minute you might be blowing things up in your imagination, and then all of a sudden you're laughing, or you're really angry and tense and really, you know, have a lot of resistance to whatever, and then all of a sudden you're having this cathartic cry. It's like it will shift. Whatever the energy is that you've been denying or you've been holding that hasn't felt safe to actually be, that you have disowned this part of yourself. As you own it, as you take responsibility for it and let it express in imagination, then it will shift because you've brought love, you've brought presence to it, and it will shift. And then once it does shift, you are in a completely different place. You no longer have this volcanic energy or this hard or this hateful, whatever the energy was, this overwhelming grief, whatever it was, you no longer have it stuck in your subconscious. You have brought light into the darkness, and the light has transformed the darkness. And because of that, you are now more light. And now that that has happened, you can actually say to yourself, now what am I actually going to do? Meaning, what action am I now going to take in the external world? Whereas you could never even have gotten to an action in the external world that would have been beneficial before, because you had all that stuff stuck in that pain body, in that shadow self. And so again, the sort of the basic exercise is, if you really want to know what your boundaries are, if you really want to know what's true for you in any given situation or about any person or event or something that you're having to deal with, you have to remember that boundaries come from self-love. And self-love requires self-knowing. And so what this is really a process of is knowing and loving yourself better than you did before. And that is where good boundaries come from. And so it's like, you know, the 1, 2, 3 of it is, first, what do I think, feel, or want? And you really let yourself know that. And then you ask that part of yourself that is thinking or feeling those less than loving energies that are making you suffer. You ask that part of you, what would feel good? What do you really want to think, say, or do? And you let it do it in your imagination until a shift happens. And a shift will always happen if you go all the way through with it. Until a shift happens, you have not gone all the way through with it. So just be very patient and loving with yourself, because sometimes it will happen in 10 seconds, and sometimes it might take 10 minutes. It depends on how deeply you've buried it or how long you've been holding it. And so there's no, you know, hard and fast rule about time. Timing is between you and nature, you and God. But if you stay present with it, if you allow that less than loving, that suffering part of you, if you allow it to express in whatever way feels good to it, in your imagination only, until it shifts, then you will be a different person, and you will be ready then to know what your boundaries are. And so that's the 1, 2, 3 of it. What do I think, feel, or want? And then that part of you, you ask it what would feel good, and you let it do that in imagination. And then once that shift has happened, then you can ask yourself, okay, now what am I actually going to do? And so what you've done in that process is you have activated your spiritual will. Whereas before in the situation, you only had that little self, the little personal will that you were coming out of. But if you do this little 3-step process, you will have activated presence inside of you. You will have activated that higher self. And you can actually then make a decision about who you are and who you're going to be and how you're going to behave based out of a much clearer framework and much more love inside of yourself, because you've just been very loving with yourself. You know, Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote the Conversations with God books, he's written a lot about that life or growth or, you know, personal evolution. It isn't really about discovering who we are. It's really about deciding who we are and who we're going to be. And so it's up to each and every one of us to choose who we're going to be, what we're going to be. But what I know from, you know, many years of counseling is that if we have a lot of fear of ourselves or other people or situations, if we are stuck because we have resentment or we have anger that we have ignored or denied, then we can't really choose who we want to be from the highest part of ourselves, because that lower part of ourselves is, you know, holding us back and dragging us down. And so what this little process does is give you a way to figure out what it is that's holding you back and dragging you down. And it's really very simple. And if you come up against a lot of fear while you're attempting to do that, I would suggest going back and using those release statements that I mentioned before. I release all fear of whatever it is. I release all need or desire to fear whatever it is. I release all beliefs, perceptions, or judgments that I will continue to fear whatever it is. I wish I could think of the woman's name that I got those release statements for. Sharon Cameron. Thank you. Wow. Sharon Cameron. She and her husband developed this amazing strategy, and I think you can actually find her online if you Google her name. I can't remember the name of the process that she developed, but Sharon Cameron. And those release statements are a part of this whole process that she developed. And like I said before, they really helped me clear a severe case of endometriosis by getting to the root of the psychological issue that was behind the endometriosis. And when I cleared the psychological root of it, the physical problem cleared immediately, just like that. Just amazing. That was 1980. That's when I really realized that everything that's going on with the body has to do with what's going on in the mind, even though you may be unconscious about what's going on in the mind. You may not know what's actually going on. So anyway, this little exercise that I gave you is a way to know. So whenever you're challenged by something, whenever you know, feel like you're being taken advantage of, whenever you feel like you want to be different in a situation or with another person than you've been before, what's really being called for there is more self-love than you've been able to find before. Better boundaries, which is what self-love is, which is what boundaries are, is self-love. And that's a really great little exercise to know what your boundaries are. is what do I really think and feel in this situation? And then really let yourself, give yourself permission to know how you actually think or feel. Don't try to pretty it up. And then ask that part of you that's suffering, you know, what would feel good? What would feel good as a way to express this? And then let it do it in your imagination, no matter what it is. Just let it do it and just be present with it. And let it do it until there's a shift. And then when there is, you're going to feel very, very different. And once you feel different, you're going to feel that greater self-love is what you're going to feel. And once you do, then you can ask yourself the question, now what am I actually going to do? And that's really what being in tune with the spiritual will is all about, is it accesses and activates that higher part of you so that you're not stuck in what Eckhart Tolle would call the pain body or the ego. You're not stuck in that unconscious fear. You have actually decided to use your free will, your ability to say who you are and what you want and where you're going to be and who you're going to be it and how you're going to do it. You've used your free will, and in doing so, you've activated that spiritual will, which is just who you are at a soul level, at a spirit level. And as a matter of fact, and David Hawkins talks about this a great deal in a lot of his books, is whenever you're having a struggle or a conflict between, you know, what you want to do and what you feel like you're capable of doing, that is a really good time to actually very consciously surrender that little personal will to the higher spiritual will and ask the spiritual will to provide you with the strength or the courage or the wherewithal, whatever that might be for you, to actually live that higher version of yourself. And of course, that's exactly why the WOW process was created, was to deal with those challenging things that we didn't know how to address on our own for whatever reason. It was overwhelming or there was too much fear or whatever. And so the WOW process is another way to just be able to face whatever it is inside of us that we have felt stymied by in whatever way. And we turn into then, or we tune into our ability to be who we want to be instead of feeling like we're stuck in the old version of who we were. And so, you know, I've talked about a lot of different teachers, and there's one teacher that I really haven't talked about that has made a huge difference in my life. And I wanted to just mention him tonight. And his name is Neville, N-E-V-I-L-L-E. And I don't know if any of you ever heard of him, but he had actually an incredible TV show in the 50s. He was one of the first New Thought people who was actually popular, and he filled lecture halls talking about metaphysical themes from the late 1930s, really until his death, which was in 1972. And he's written a number of books, and a lot of them are out of print. You can't get them right now. But there's two of them that are really easily available. And one of those is called The Law and the Promise. And the other is called Your Faith is Your Fortune. And I just want to mention Neville because he really explains in a very clear way how it is that if we can envision something, if we can imagine it, then we can move in that direction. We are actually creating it. And so understanding that helps us understand how to manifest. And that's actually what I'm going to be talking about next week. I've had a number of people ask me to do a show on manifesting, and I'm going to do that next week, and I'm going to be using some of Neville's material. I'm also going to be using one of the very first books that was one of the first Abraham books called New Beginnings, Book 2. And we're going to talk about manifesting. And so if you're interested in that, how to do that consciously, then I hope you join me again next Tuesday evening at 8 Eastern or at 7 for some great music. And I just want to let everybody know again that you are listening to UR Radio. My name is Louisa Dyer, and you can find out more about me at my website, louisadyer.com. And feel free to email me about the show through my website or through the Facebook page for the show, which is Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio. And amazingly, our time is up again. It goes so incredibly fast. I will check the Facebook page once I put this music on. We're going to close with the theme song for the show, which is Time for a Change by Here to Here. And I really hope you can hear the words. It's quite an amazing, amazing song. Good night, everyone. Much love.
Where my heroes at? Where my soldiers at? Where my presidents and citizens and all that jazz? Where my artists at? Where my dreamers at? Where my activists and hippie chicks and I know that we can do it, we can change the world.